Good morning, everyone. This is going to begin another week, and I hope this is an exciting one for you as it has been for us for the last couple of months. And it may be a little new to you, as it was just a little over 2 months ago when we discovered some new information, and I'm very excited about it. However, let me just tell you, we have a guest speaker on the line with us, and he is not new to this information. Before we start, I just want to say, in case you have friends that may be missing this and you would like to share it with them, it is being recorded at focusongrowth.com. All put together, focusongrowth.com, bottom of the front page, left column in red. So, Steve Roberts, good morning.
Good morning, Char.
We are so happy to have you on here because I feel like the beginning of a novice on this subject. No, you're not.
Presentation mode is disabled.
Sorry, Char.
Presentation mode is now enabled.
We know that you have a lot to give us as far as information and what can be happening in our lives if we want to change a few things. Steve, first, let's just have a little bit on where you got introduced to NECAN.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of where I was with, I guess, my health in general back in the 1980s. I began to have, you know, I was in my 30s, began to have a lot of health challenges. And I began to look at different alternative ways of dealing with those issues because modern medicine wasn't working. And a lot of things were helping a lot, including some modification in the way that I ate. And all these things helped and made a big difference. And then when NECAN came along, it just seemed to give me so much more to address the different issues that I was having. You know, I felt like I was too young to be hobbled. And I was actually introduced to NECAN by my veterinarian because we have large animals, and not the kind of animals you can stick in your car and take to the vet, but the vet actually comes to your farm, a farm doctor. And he had been using industrial magnets on health for 5 years, and then he was introduced to NECAN. We, you know, just jumped right in with it, and that was, about 13 years ago. And we've done real well with the business. I've loved the products, shared them, shared the business, and it's, you know, made a big turnaround in our health and certainly in our lifestyle as well. But that's just a very, very brief version.
I understand. Well, the subject we're talking about on Advanced Lifestyle this morning is a little bit more specified, but it's something that we all deal with every day, several times a day, and that's basically how we make our food choices. And we've got whole foods to go right along with that, and just which we didn't have way back when you were introduced. Nothing like we have now, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and the it's so accessible now to where, you know, you can just go in your local grocery store a lot of times now and find you know, organic produce and that sort of thing, things you couldn't find years ago. You know, it's just back then it was, you're really odd if you're doing those types of things. So.
Oh, I remember walking into some of those places and through the parking lot, and Denny would say to me, "Are you sure you want to go in there?"
Right.
It didn't look like the norm. It definitely was not for the average American around here. So how long have you been eating on a more specific way instead of just anything that comes out of the grocery store?
Well, we started that probably about 18 years ago, but we really became... I suffered some more health challenges about 5 years ago, and I, you know, my sister had gotten into a way of eating that she kept trying to get us to do it, and we, you know, kept putting her off for about 6 months or a year, and it was actually called macrobiotics. And when we were doing that, when she was doing that, we were, you know, just thinking, you know, this is going to be too time my sister was introducing me to that way of eating, I know Nikken was promoting macrobiotics at that time, because Mitsuo Kushi, the guy who really brought macrobiotics to America, was Nikken was promoting that at that time, and that was 5 or 6 years ago. And also, Mitsuo Kushi, I know for a long time, was on Nikken's, I guess, their board of advisors, if you will, or helped them in their product development. And he was also, if I'm not mistaken, he was also instrumental in helping get the PiMag water introduced here to America. So, and one thing I want to say about this, too, before I get going with this is, and I think this is important first and foremost, and that is that we are all responsible for our own health. And that's something that that is really, you know, kind of runs against the grain of the way we're taught to think. And that is that maybe if our parents and our grandparents had a certain disease, then we're destined to get it too. And that the doctor has all the answers, and that we need to listen to what they say, and heaven forbid, don't listen to your own body and what it may have to say. And I think we've all got to find our own path and find out what works best for us. And this way of eating has certainly helped, and this lifestyle has certainly helped me a lot. You know, whether it's going to work for everyone, I can't say, but I certainly think there are some principles here that if everyone would, you know, maybe move in this direction, in our society, we would certainly see a lot better health, because there is just, I mean, if you look at our society and the way that we are eating, we are a very sick society. Very obese, overweight, very all kinds of, I guess, some of the highest cancer rates in the world. A lot of stroke, heart attacks, and what we're really talking about here is it's all going back to the wellness and prevention, just like what Deacon's offers, and it all ties in really with that. It all works so well together. So I just wanted to say that first, that we are responsible for our health. We can take our health into control. We can take our health into control through what Nikken has to offer, and we can take control through what we eat. And as you say, we eat every day. We eat several times a day, usually at least 3 times a day. And we essentially are what we eat, so it is very important. And so I mentioned to you that one of the reasons that I went in this is because I was having some challenges. Now, that's kind of unfortunate. I mean, wouldn't it be better if we all looked at improving the way that we ate for prevention, so
yeah,
that we could prevent these things from happening, rather than, you know, wait until we're sick? And, you know, I've heard people say, oh, well, if I had a terminal illness, then I might look at that. Well, that's not how we should be thinking. We should be thinking, how can we avoid those terminal illnesses, not how we can get them and then try to treat them through the way that we eat. That's kind of taking it backwards, I think. So,
you know, I couldn't agree with you more, and I also can't agree with you more on the changes that can take place even when we are healthy, and the things that we can see before we encounter any of those issues. I cannot believe that anyone could argue with the research and the science that we now have. And I'll just put a plug in here for the China study, which was the book, name of the book that got me started on this, laying on my counter when we returned from Mexico in a padded envelope, and I'm unwrapping. It's not unusual for me to have them there because I pick up, order several books a month just on new subjects. And when I read the cover, I never laid it down again. It wasn't with more than about 5 feet from my body at all times, because I was just absolutely mesmerized by what I was reading in those pages, astounded by the information. And it's been out there from other places, but you know what? I never picked it up, or I never went down that path. And basically what we're talking about is looking at the balance in our diet of plant-based material, and it's not high enough in the average American's diet to give them a level of good health. And I'll make that statement really, really strong, because the average person is not taking in enough whole foods in the form of plant-based products. that are unrefined. If you can see a label on it, it's probably not unrefined. Am I right, Steve?
That's correct. I would say so. And that's not to say that everything we should be eating should not have a label on it, but certainly we want to head in the direction that you're talking about.
More of it. More of it. It should be the minority that has a label on it. And we can change that instantly by what goes in there. I mean, we would not put into a vehicle what we are putting in as far as off the beaten path of what should be going in into a vehicle and expect it to run, would we, Steve?
Would not. We would definitely would not. And to give you some example, I think it's important to talk about first, before I talk about what I actually do eat, and I guess that is what you wanted me to talk about a little bit, kind of what I'm doing.
All together, yes, that's right.
Okay. All right. I think what's most important is what I don't do. And keep in mind, when I say I don't do these things, I'm not suggesting that anyone else don't do these things, you know. But there may be things that people may want to cut back on, certainly. But the first thing that I avoid is meat altogether and dairy. And that's something that in our culture is very hard for people to swallow because, you know, since we're, you know, the way we were raised in our society, we were raised with meat. We were raised with bacon and eggs and sausage and at breakfast. And then meat with dinner. And the meat becomes the centerpiece of the meal. And now, like I say, I've chosen to avoid meat, and really I just don't eat it, and it works well for me. Now, there may be others who may want to eat less meat and maybe not let that be the centerpiece of the meal, but maybe eat it as a side dish instead. Because certainly, you know, we're eating way too much meat in our society, and that is has been attributed and linked to a lot of the killer diseases that we're talking about. And another one is dairy. Now, I choose not to eat any dairy. My wife, she may eat a little. My kids, they don't eat much meat, but they eat some dairy. So I think everyone just finds their level as far as what they, you know, want to do there. But this is what I've chosen to do. Also, I do not eat sugar, especially refined sugar. And even if it has, says cane sugar or cane syrup or whatever, I just totally avoid it. And it's really unfortunate because even if you go into the health food store or the health food section of a grocery store, you go look through, for instance, cereal boxes. Nearly every single one of them has some form of sugar in it added, and it's just there is no reason for it to be in the human body. I read a great book called Sugar Blues one time that talked about basically how, you know, the sugar industry and how sugar is very addictive, and it's basically a poison. So I just look at it like with a skull and crossbones. When I see it on there, I say, well, this is poison. I wouldn't eat that. So I really try to avoid sugar.
What are we trading?
And then,
what are we trading?
What's that?
What are we trading off when we do put that stuff in our bodies? What are some of the symptoms and some of the health situations that we can be encouraging, or even on a daily basis, where are we compromising how we might feel and what might go on in our body?
You mean if we do eat sugar?
Yeah.
You mean if we do
the sugar?
Well, we can just look at one of the number one epidemics in our society today, which we didn't have decades ago, and that's diabetes. I mean, that right there, hypoglycemia and diabetes, should be enough of an alarm signal to where, I can remember when I was a kid, kids who had diabetes, they didn't eat sugar, you know, and I always thought, well, that would be so horrible, you know, if they couldn't eat sugar, and here I'm not doing it today by choice. But, you know, you look at it today, and all these people have diabetes, and I guess they continue eating sugar, and maybe they just take the insulin, I don't know, but it's really an epidemic. So that would be number one.
Wouldn't you say that it's like we're hooked up to a drip tube with the amount of sugar that's running into our body continually throughout the day?
Yes, and it gives us that sudden burst of energy. And I will say that when I started eating this way, that this was the number one challenge for me, was the withdrawals that I had from sugar, because it is highly addictive. It really is. ulcers, anything like that. Monosodium glutamate is just, I'm allergic to that anyway and can't eat it. But I just avoid any of those things like the plague. I don't want it in my food.
And
stay
MSG,
away from
MSG may not show up on the label as MSG, am I correct?
Yeah, unfortunately it can be disguised among different ingredients.
Just the word spices.
Yeah, or natural flavorings, I think. So,
oh, dear, yes.
Yeah, so certainly want to be real careful there. And another one that I avoid is white flour. And those are just a few of the things that I avoid. Now, as far as what I actually do eat, I try to stay organic whenever possible. Now, obviously, it's not always possible to find what you want in organic, so I'm not fanatical about that, but I do try to stay organic. And today, like we talked about, it's so much more available that you can do it much easier.
Now, when you're saying organic and working at purchasing organic, that's in more the raw materials, because I just read an article this last weekend that said organic has totally lost its meaning with 38 items that are not organic allowed to be considered organic.
Another thing that's scary about that is how the big companies are taking over the little companies, the little mom and pop organizations that started out as natural organic companies. And the big companies like General Mills type companies are taking over those smaller companies and getting more control of the industry. So it's just like, it's pretty scary what's going on out there. So that kind of takes us to another level as far as trying to educate ourselves as to what is quality, as far as what we're eating and what, so it's an ongoing process that even though it is easier, yes, to find organic, at the same time, we still want to be cautious of, who we're dealing with and buying our foods from. But we just do the best we can as far as that goes.
Right. We're headed in that direction. Go ahead and tell us, if you finish that topic, tell us how you do eat and how you incorporate these incredible products that NECAN, the whole food products that NECAN has given us.
Okay, sure. One of the things that the way that I eat is based around whole grains. And, we go for anywhere from 25 to 50% whole grains in our diet. And that would be, 50% probably would be more if someone was really ill and had a, trying to, in a healing mode, and 25% is probably more maintenance. But when I'm talking about whole grains, and let me mention this too, there's a lot of misinformation that comes out there. It really disturbs me when in these particular diets they say to avoid grains because, they're high in carbohydrates. Well, when you're talking about whole grains, the carbohydrates are part of the fiber and the protein, the whole plant there that we need. We actually need carbohydrates in our diet, and these are what we would call good carbs. And so the whole grain gives us really so much of what we need in the whole form that it's very healthy for us, and our body can process that and not just burn it up like it does simple sugars.
Now, when you see this on the package, the package that comes in the fluffy little flakes or whatever that the majority of people think of for breakfast food, that's a little different than what you're talking about whole grains when you're talking about the raw, natural, the way God created it, not the way man has taken it apart and then decided how to put it back together. Am I correct?
Exactly. And I will say that I do eat a lot of processed grains too. However, I'm very careful about which processed grains that I eat and what else is in there with it. But certainly for the most part, I prefer the whole grains. I'll give you an example of a processed grain, oats, like oatmeal. That is the flaked oat. And, some amount of processing goes into flaking the oat. And so the oat is no longer But yeah, you're right. As far as you know, we think of, you know, give you an example. White flour is a processed grain. You know, it's the wheat that has been, you know, pulverized, and then they've bleached it and done everything to take all the nutrients out of it, and then they enrich it by putting some, you know, I guess man-made vitamins back into it, and that's why they call it enriched white flour. So that's probably one of the, you know, some of the worst things that we can do instead of just eating, you know, maybe a flour from a whole grain or from whole wheat or spelt or whatever someone wants to do to find a better flour to use to cook with. So,
you know, you might, you are right, not might be, you are right with a little bit more of the grains incorporated in percentage-wise than what we're looking at with higher probably balance on the percentage of the vegetables. And I know that we eat a little bit more raw, advocating eating a little bit more in the raw state than you do. But when I think of my breakfast in the morning, and I don't know where yours is, so I want you to tell us, but mine includes often steel-cut oats that are available. I never, ever considered rolling my own like what you are doing. That's way ahead of where I am, Steve, and probably the average person never thought of having a piece of equipment in their home that ever did that, but that's interesting. But I will put in either the Body Balance Vanilla or the Perfect Start Plus into my cereal as it's put in the bowl, or right after it's put in my bowl, and stir that into a very watery cereal that I've made in our Kenzen cookware, and use that for my milk and my sweetener at the same time, and I absolutely love it, and so does everybody else. Now, we go a step further and put chopped apple and some nuts on top of it also, and of course you can add cinnamon, which is very healthy.
You're being very creative there, Char.
Well, you know, we've done it for years now. Well, a good 5 years anyway, when we were doing the original lifestyle. And now the only thing that's changed is I'm not putting a big glob of dairy product on top of it. And I don't miss it. I don't miss any of it. I mean, it was the easiest transition that I've ever made. And, boy, speaking for my husband, my gosh, he never moved into anything like he has this. And so what? How would your morning start for you?
Well, it would, like I say, I think the oatmeal is my favorite thing to start with. It's, you know, the oat groats are much better, but I generally don't, go to the trouble to, because you generally have to kind of cook them overnight. Now, when I have my wood stove going in the winter, sometimes I'll let them simmer on the wood stove all night, but it's not easy to make the whole groats, the whole oat groats that way, so I usually just do the grains, and that's my most common one. And there actually is some processed cereal that I do eat some with rice milk, but the processed cereal that I eat, it's like amaranth and millet, I think, is what cut with, and maybe some rice in it, and then it's sweetened with a little bit of fruit juice, has no sugar in it. So, and then
you're
I put a little rice milk on it.
Okay, you're not saying it's processed as comes out of a box in the form of flakes, or are you?
Yeah, it
you
does.
Are.
It is.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
so
I found that. Okay.
I do that some for convenience, too, you know,
okay.
Or when I'm traveling or something like that, so, or when
okay.
I'm in a hurry. So, yeah. So, you know, and when you talk about, for instance, the way that it's hard to put a label on exactly what I'm doing. For instance, you know, we talked about macrobiotics a little bit. That would certainly not be what you would call macrobiotic, but it's kind of hard to say exactly what is imagine if you cooked with kombu as well. So then there are several other sea vegetables as well, but I won't get into them here. And another thing that we do is we try to find, since we don't eat meat, we try to find a protein source at our other meals other than breakfast. Not generally protein with breakfast sometimes, but generally with lunch and dinner we'll always add a protein such as a bean, a tofu product, or in our case we do eat some fish, you know, maybe a couple of times a week. We also eat some fruits, nuts, seeds, that sort of thing. And as far as desserts go, we try to stay with, you know, healthy, if there is such a thing as a healthy dessert, or half healthy. But it is important that we get our sweets, because if we don't eat some sweets, then we are going to crave them so bad that we may go out and binge, you know, on things that we maybe shouldn't be eating. So we do, you know, eat some occasional desserts, maybe fruit-based, or one ingredient that I really like to use in cooking, you know, to substitute for sugar or honey or something like that would be brown rice syrup, which you can find in your health food store. And it is a sweetener that, if you look at sugars, simple sugars are a monosaccharide. When you find your carbohydrates, I guess, in a whole form, such as a whole grain, that would be a trisaccharide. Well, this is a disaccharide, which is kind of in between the mono and the tri. And so it's the brown rice syrup is, you know, like I say, it'd be a little more better for you than something like, you know, a simple sugar. So that's one of our favorites to use. It's a great sweetener.
But I bet you rely on what God gave us, and that was fruit in its original wrapper, huh?
Yeah, fruit in its original form, and the best kind of fruit is when it's in season, when the blackberries are on the vine and when the fruit's on the trees. That's the, you know, when you talk about what God gave us, that's what he gave us where we live is the fruit in our areas, and when it's in season, and that's the very best time to be eating fruit. And a couple other things, it's also very important that we chew our food well. It's important that we take the time to sit down and eat, that we're not on the run, you know, grab something from, you know, and eat while we're driving or eat while we're doing other things, but to actually sit down at the table and eat our food and chew it slowly and then enjoy it. And that makes a huge difference in our health as well.
Now, this is going even just a little bit deeper, and that is you have a family. And I know you said your wife, maybe, I mean, you obviously do this together, and that she maybe occasionally would have something other than what you had, but when you're out, but pretty much on the same level you are, and then you have children. So you want to address that?
When I say on the same level, we all find our own thing, and I'm more strict than she is, and I was more strict in the beginning when I was more, I guess, in the healing process, and now I'm on more of a maintenance level. And the kids, yeah, we all kind of find our own way, and I think it's been great that what we've done here is everyone has been supportive. Not everyone is going to have that situation, because very often a family member will rebel, and, you know, and then you may just end up fixing extra things for them, for instance, if you know. But at the same time, our kids love this way of eating because it's good. They know it's good, healthy food, and they love to come home. My son's in college, and he really misses it, you know, because he doesn't get to eat this well when he's gone, and he loves it when he comes home because he knows that our home-cooked meals are, you know, they're good and they're very healthy. And so certainly everyone finds their own level, and we don't dictate even what our children should do when they're this age, because they're, you know, everybody has to find their own way and find what works, really what works best for them. You try to give them the best guidance you can and let them see what fits best for them. So, but yeah, we all kind of find our own way of doing things. I think for breakfast we're pretty much on our own, and for lunch, but then at dinner we try to have, you know, when everybody's here together, try to have a meal where we all sit down, and, you know, we try to fix things that everyone, you know, likes. If there's certain things certain people don't like when they're not there, then we might have them then rather than when they're there.
I'm sure that when they were younger, you felt the responsibility to give them that direction and guidance when they were at an age where they didn't understand the importance of it. Am I correct?
Well, when we started, you know, my son's 20 years old now. When my son was very young, we actually took him to McDonald's for the Happy Meal. That's how far we've progressed.
That's a stretch, isn't it?
I haven't been to a McDonald's or any fast food place like that in so long, I couldn't tell you when it last was. I just don't go there, period.
But you still, you made changes as you were going, and I remember seeing your kids with you, and they, you know, yes, they reached for maybe something that wasn't normal at home, but they still, the rest of the food that they ate was much better balanced, let me put it that way, than probably average.
Right, and like I say, in about the last 18 years or so, we have made it's been a gradual change for us, and I think the biggest change was about 4 or 5 years ago, and then our kids at that point were old enough to question it, but they didn't, and they, you know, they were supportive, and they liked what we did, and they, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, this is actually being Oriental-based makes it rather difficult, and you know, sometimes when I talk to this about people, you know, for some it's a turnoff. They do not want to give up the way that they've been eating what I call comfort foods. You know, it's the way that they were raised, and they just don't want to change it. If you start looking at things that are somewhat Oriental-based, it scares some people to death. But then on the other hand, I've had some people that have said, what are you doing? Hey, I want to do that. And they went out, and they learned how to do it, and they're doing it, and they love it, and their health is better, and they just wonder why it took so long for them to find out. So, you know, just whatever works for people. But, I see so much of poor health in our society. And I think everyone on this call knows that if everyone in our society at least went in this direction, not that they went as far as I'm going, but at least went in this direction, that our society would be healthier than it is today.
You know, you're speaking of being Asian from the Orient, and of course the China study originated there, but boy, let me tell you guys that reading that and seeing how it evolved from the 70s in the largest study ever done in the world, 880 million people involved in it, in its original form, and categorized into this huge map of China and where the pockets they were looking at where the pockets of cancer were, because that's what the premier of China was dying with, and he wanted some answers. And then how Colin Campbell, the author of the book, was connected with that information and then took it further in China and then globally and then brought it and did the research right here in the States on it and found exactly the same thing taking place and the modifications. And yours, yes, has a lot incorporated into it because of your research and what you've done. I'm nowhere close to that, but the easy part was just what we took out of the diet and then started going from there without giving a lot of thought to anything other than sensible balance. When I say sensible, I could have at one point in my life sat down and eaten three bowls of rice and called it a meal. Well, I wouldn't even consider doing that.
Probably the most amazing part, I bet, is how you can notice, because this is something that I began to notice just within a short period of time. First of all, is how much better I felt after I ate this way. And second of all, how you could notice that food could change things, like your mood and that sort of thing, depending upon the type of food you eat. So definitely how you feel. And if I go out to a restaurant now and if I get a meal that's just not so great, I don't feel very well after I eat it. And so so that's one reason that I keep eating this way, because I feel like not only is it healthy for me in the future as far as prevention, but it just overall makes me feel a whole lot better. And I also want to mention that what I'm doing is kind of, I guess what you'd say, a modified form of the macrobiotics, if you will. And I think that is definitely, there are a lot of differences between what we're doing and what you're doing. And I have a feeling that the China study that you're basing yours upon will probably be easier for people to grasp than what I'm doing, because mine probably is even just a little farther out there as far as from the norm. So I applaud what you're doing, and I think that, you know, a lot of people will notice huge results from giving this a try. Some great
Steve, you know, you say that, but on the other hand, I just went down and looked at those same sea vegetables you were talking about and a few others that you didn't name. They're not difficult to find, and yes, it was just my same thought. You know, Nikan's gone that same direction in some of the products they've, our whole food, our jade, for example, and you're right. It's just another source of incredibly good nutrients and not difficult to put any more so than we'd salt and pepper something, for Pete's sake. It's
exactly.
Just becoming aware of it. So, boy, give me a overview in summary here of what you could suggest for people as far as just, I want them to see the energy, I want them to see the everyday experience as the result of what they can do when they modify and begin to change what they're eating and fueling our bodies to get the most out of it, and this is for everything.
Sure, and going back to, I kind of missed a point when you talked about how I start my day. I start my day with the jade greenzymes. That's the very first thing that I put into my system, and also one of the lactoferrin capsules. Those are the very first two things. Now, lactoferrin does come from milk, so when I say I eat, that is probably the only form of dairy that I have in my diet, and it may be something that I'm getting that I am missing because I'm not getting dairy, so the lactoferrin just happens to fit perfect for me and the way that I'm eating, and so those are the very first two things before I, you know, go into the oatmeal or whatever. So having said that, I think that what's important here is that everyone can really make such a difference in their health once again if they do realize that we do have the power to control our health through our lifestyle and through our way of eating. And if you're now eating the standard American diet and you're eating, you know, hamburgers and steaks and hot dogs and fried chicken and fried potatoes and all those things, and then, like you say, not just that, but also the processed foods, and you're eating fast food a lot, I mean, just try to gravitate away, you know, try to make a change, you know, try not to eat as fast food, you know, try to get away from all the meats. I know when I cut out red meat out of my diet, and that was about 19 years ago, that made such a huge difference, just making that one step, and maybe cutting sugar out of your diet, and or at least reducing the intake, and it's just amazing the difference that can make. And but you might, you know, for us, you know, we did a lot of things gradually over a period of decades, you know, almost two decades. So to tell someone that they need to go out here and just all of a sudden stop eating meat, or to stop eating dairy and to stop eating sugar and just start doing all these things, you know, that may be too much for them to take all at once. But so maybe just take small steps with it and try to move, you know, gravitate in that direction and notice how it feels, and maybe just stop eating meat for a month, but make sure that you find your protein from other sources. But just stop eating meat for a month.
Well, we also have to realize we're getting a lot of protein from our plants that some of us,
sure,
and I'm at the top of that list, have never considered had even protein in it because we were looking at just the carbs. But we have asked just that of our pilot study group, to eliminate it for a period of time so that we can monitor and see what we're going to see as far as benefits of doing this. So we have done that. And, Steve, let me just thank you immensely for being on this call with us and allowing us to inspect what you're doing a bit. And also, I want to announce that anyone that's missed part of this call or have friends that they would like to see this information or hear this information, it is being recorded at focusongrowth.com, front page, bottom left side in the red, and you can just click on it and hear the whole thing, and I think it'll be up at some point today. Let me just put that in. That's the norm for them. And I just thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping spread the word of what you've been doing and the importance of it, around in this country, because we have got the podium for being able to do it in our Niken Wellness Home business.
Well, Char, thank you, and thank you for the great upline in the Niken business and for being there, because you're spreading Niken several levels down the line. Ended up us getting introduced to it. So continue spreading the Niken message.
Thank you. And thank you to all our listeners for your participation. And now the obligation is on you, first to begin incorporating this, and then also to spread the word, so we cannot have to deal with the difficulties in life because of our health challenges by having a healthier body. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Presentation mode is now disabled. Presentation mode is now enabled. Presentation mode is now disabled.